I was tremendously impressed by Errol Spence's performance here against Danny Garcia. He outboxed him, he outpunched him, he outthought him, he outmaneuvered him, he overpowered him, and is it too far to say he beat him up? He certainly marked him up en route to a 12-round unanimous decision. But the reason I'm so impressed is because he came back from a terrible car accident. And you never know how somebody's body is going to be coming back from a situation like that. I know they said there was no broken bones and what have you, but they can be neurological issues, and there can be muscle issues, nerve issues, which are sometimes undetected. But I don't want to say Errol Spence was 100% in there. In fact, he said himself that he had a lot of ring rust and what have you, and he felt tired at the end of the fight. Even if he was only 70% or 80%, that's clearly still very good in terms of performing at world level, because I don't think anybody's dominated Danny Garcia the way that he did in there. So, tremendously impressed by the way Errol Spence came back, and he said for his next fight, he's going to be 100% or 110% for that one. So, is Errol Spence as good as he was prior to the crash? I would say right now, no, but it certainly looks like he could get back to that level again from what I saw here tonight. Now, in the opening round, the first thing I noticed is that Errol Spence, to me, looked a bit more skinny than he was pre-crash. He's always been kind of a slender, wiry type of figure, but here he looked even more wiry and even more slender. So, I don't know if he's lost a bit of muscle mass there, maybe in his upper body or certain parts of his upper body. I'm not sure, but he just looked a little more skinny than me, than he used to. Now, with Danny Garcia, he's never been a pressure fighter. He tends to start slow, typically. And, you know, despite those things, I felt like he should have tried to test Errol Spence early. Again, he's not a pressure fighter. He's not a fast starter. But given what Spence was coming back from, he should have tried to test him a bit early. Try and see what he had. Try and see how his body reacted. Put Spence on his heels a little bit. Get a drop on him, maybe. Because, again, when a guy's coming back from those kind of injuries, you want to make him doubt himself, if anything. But Danny Garcia was cautious. You know, he boxed his typical fight, really. He was cautious from the opening bell, and he allowed Errol Spence to get comfortable. He allowed Errol Spence to get into a rhythm and into a groove. And that was a mistake, a tactical mistake by Danny Garcia. Again, he isn't a pressure fighter. He's not a guy that normally jumps on people early. That is asking him to do something which is kind of out of character for Danny Garcia. But even his dad was telling him to do it. Angel knew that that was the way to get to Errol Spence, is to jump on him, you know, to stay with him in the pocket. But evidently, he felt the physical strength and the punching power of Errol Spence in the pocket, and he decided, you know what, it's a bit too much for me. And so he stayed, for the most part, on the back foot, moving around. When he did decide to come forward, that's when he usually had his most success, when he actually went for it. I mean, in the final round, far too little too late, I think it was in the last 30 seconds, he started going at Errol Spence, and he looked like he was going to have a bit of success there. He needed to do that much earlier on in the fight. I mean, he needed to do that, truth be told. Maybe not quite that reckless, because he was fairly reckless in the last round, in the last, whatever it was, 20 seconds of the final round. Maybe not quite that reckless, but he needed to have that kind of energy, that kind of assertiveness in the first round, I felt, Danny Garcia, if he was going to give himself any serious chance of winning. But yeah, alas, it wasn't to be. Errol Spence got into his groove. He did take his foot off the gas late in the fight, and I think that was down to the ring rust, you know, being out of the ring for whatever it is, a year and a half. So he doesn't have the same fight fitness right now as he did last time he fought against Sean Porter. But that will come, you know, the more he's active and what have you. I'm assuming anyway that that should come. So yeah, mightily impressed by Errol Spence. Tremendous to be able to come back from that horror crash. I mean, he's just incredibly fortunate to even be alive today after a crash like that. Most people don't survive something like that. He's not only survived, but has come back to fight again at elite level as a welterweight. And it looks like business as usual. Remarkable stuff from Errol Spence. Maybe he should change his name to the Miracle Man rather than the Truth. Now, Terence Crawford was in attendance, and that's the fight we all want to see. But at the moment, it looks like there's a lot of politics in that situation, so probably not going to happen anytime soon. Therefore, they're surely going to look to match Errol Spence against who? Manny Pacquiao? Keith Thurman, maybe? Wherever he's at the moment. I know Keith Thurman's been calling Errol Spence out recently, and Errol Spence has been saying, well, I called you out back in the days and you didn't want to give me an opportunity. Why should I give you an opportunity now? Basically. So, I don't know. They've got plenty of welterweights there at PBC. So let's see who Errol Spence decides to fight next. Who would you guys like to see Errol Spence fight next? And let me know what you thought about his performance. I know there's going to be at least some who think that it wasn't a particularly impressive display because there are always people who have unrealistic expectations. For me, given what Errol Spence has been through by way of the crash and the layoff, I think that was a tremendous performance. I'm mightily impressed by that. So, and as far as Danny Garcia, yeah, he hasn't managed to beat any of the champions at welterweight. And is there any possibility for him to move down to 140? I know it's not something that usually goes well for older fighters when they decide to move back down to an old weight division at the latter stages of their career. But where else could Danny Garcia go from here? You know, maybe a rematch with Keith Thurman, because Keith Thurman might not be what he used to be. Perhaps he can get revenge over him. But it's kind of hard to see what Danny Garcia's next step will be. So let me know what you guys think about that as well. And yeah, just overall, good performance. The same confident, physically strong, assertive, smart fighter. Not 100% yet, but looks like he can get there. Those are my thoughts on it. Let me know your thoughts in the comments below. Objectively speaking, this was genuinely a nip and tuck fight. Arthur had the better of it in the first six rounds, and Anthony Yard came on in the second half of the fight. Arthur was very negative. He used the jab almost exclusively and threw very few power shots. He was moving constantly. He very rarely held his feet. Anthony Yard was coming forward and applying pressure, but for the most part, it was ineffective pressure. So that's why a lot of the rounds were open to interpretation, especially in the second half of the fight. In the first half of the fight, I felt like it was easier to score some of the rounds, especially the rounds that Arthur won. But in the second half, yeah, Anthony Yard was applying a lot of pressure in some rounds, but missing a lot. A lot of his shots being blocked, just not getting through with many clean ones at all. And Arthur wasn't doing much great work himself, but he was landing a few clean jabs here and there. Occasionally, Arthur did let a right hand go, an uppercut, occasionally a hook, but very, very few and far between. So it wasn't a good fight. It was a chess match all the way. And I think that Anthony Yard had the Sergey Kovalev fight in the back of his mind. He was mindful of his stamina. He didn't want to run out of gas again. And I think that Tunde Ajayi also had that in the back of his mind. He didn't want to tell Anthony Yard to empty the gas tank because that backfired last time. So I think that Tunde was not realistic in terms of telling Anthony how close the fight was. That's my view. And again, I think it was probably a fear of a repeat of what happened against Kovalev, you know, telling him, oh, go for it, empty the tank. And what if he empties the tank and then Arthur comes back and stops him? I think he was worried about that. So perhaps he was just praying, wishful thinking, and putting his faith in the judges seeing it their way. Well, the judges didn't see it their way. One of them, I think, had it 117-111 to yard, which is an alarming scorecard. But the other two had it close to Arthur. I can't remember if it was by one or by two rounds. One of them, I think it was one round. The other one, was it one round or two rounds? So two of the judges' scorecards were perfectly reasonable. But the first scorecard of 117-111, that's scandalous. And that's the second weekend in a row now where a Frank Warren, God, what can I call him? A Frank Warren golden boy? Anthony Yard being one of them and Daniel Dubois the other. They've both got some pretty dubious scorecards in their favor. Dubois was five rounds up on one judge's scorecard against Joe Joyce. Very dubious. And Anthony Yard, 117-111 against Arthur. Again, very, very dubious. If they'd had it to Yard by a round or two, I wouldn't complain. But six rounds? Come on. What's that all about? Frank Warren looked dejected again, second weekend in a row. It's not going too well for Frank at the moment. Although, again, it was baffling last weekend because Joe Joyce is a Frank Warren fighter. We now know that he signed a contract extension, prior to that Dubois fight. Now, with Lyndon Arthur, I'm not sure. Is he a Frank Warren fighter or not? If he isn't a Frank Warren fighter, then the look on Frank Warren's face in this post-fight interview is more understandable. If Lyndon Arthur is signed to whoever, I had the impression that Lyndon Arthur was signed to some small hall promoter, but maybe one of you guys can tell me in the comments below, has he got some kind of deal with Frank Warren, or is he still with that small hall promoter? Because if he isn't signed to Frank Warren, then that's a great situation for Lyndon Arthur. Now, there was talk about a rematch after the fight. I wouldn't like to see a rematch, certainly not next. But then again, from Lyndon Arthur's perspective, a rematch might be the most lucrative financial thing for him to do right now. Because after beating Yard this first time, surely the second time his purse is going to be a lot better. So, yeah, let's see what happens if they have a rematch. I'm not really interested in seeing this fight anytime soon, because the first fight was pretty dull, let's be real. In the final round, Anthony Yard did go for it. He decided to empty the tank, but it was too little too late. And, you know, Anthony Yard, he's a very athletically gifted fighter, and he has a positive mindset. But there are definitely certain things there that he needs to work on. You know, his ability to walk down a boxer who's taller than him with longer arms, a guy who's moving like that, needs a lot of improvement. You know, needs to be a lot more proactive in terms of wearing a fighter down. His pressure fighting skills basically need to be improved significantly. And the reason why that is going to be an issue moving forward is because there are plenty of guys of Lyndon Arthur's kind of dimensions in the light heavyweight division. I know the champions are not that tall. I think Beterbio is probably about 6 feet, 5'11", 6 feet. And I think the same for Bivol. I think he's about 5'11", 6 feet. So they might not be that tall. But there are plenty of other guys in the light heavyweight division who are tall. You know, 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", some of them. So he's going to come across this issue again. And he needs to up his game and learn how to apply effective pressure, where you can land more clean shots on a guy who's moving around like that. You know, chop down the tree. And even if you don't manage to stop him, you can still land enough to make it clear on the judges' scorecards that you're winning. He didn't do that tonight. Now, in the post-fight interview, Anthony Yard basically said that he was robbed. He certainly wasn't robbed. Who do we blame for this? Well, Anthony Yard is the fighter in the ring. So I'm not really going to blame him too much, because it was a close fight. And in a close fight, two guys are trying to have positive attitudes. Anthony Yard's the one applying all the pressure. He had a big last round where he did hurt Arthur. So I'm not going to blame him too much for thinking that, you know, he was robbed or whatever the case may be. He wasn't, but often the fighters themselves are the worst people to score the fight while they're in it. If they go back and watch it later and are able to be objective, and a lot of people are not able to be objective when they're watching themselves and scoring one of their own fights. But if he watches it later in the cold light of day, he might realize, actually, the fight was close. But when you're in a fight, you know, I give fighters some leeway, particularly when it's a close fight. I give fighters some leeway in the heat of the moment, saying, oh, I was robbed and all this kind of stuff. He wasn't robbed. It could have gone either way. Lyndon Arthur was realistic about it. He said that he knew it was close. And there was some speculation that Lyndon Arthur might have injured his right hand. But after the fight, he played it down and said, no, I didn't injure my right hand. It's just that Anthony Yard's defense was good, so I couldn't land it. I didn't want to throw it much because I could get countered. And he's going to need to address that if he fights Anthony Yard again. Because Anthony Yard, if he fights Lyndon Arthur again, is surely going to stick it on him much earlier in the fight. And Lyndon Arthur is going to have to learn how to land that right hand safely and effectively more often to stop Yard rushing him. So that's my take on it. Let me know your take in the comments below. Did you like the performance by either guy? What do you think of Anthony Yard's future moving forward? I know he's had a rough 2020. I mean, most people have had a rough 2020, but his 2020 has been even more rough than most. So perhaps that also contributed to his mindset in the post-fight interview. But let me know what you think he can do going forward. Is his career irredeemable at this point? I mean, I don't think so. It was a nip and tuck fight. If he gets his mind right, and, you know, I'm going to say this now, maybe look at bringing someone else in to help Tunde Ajayi, or maybe getting a different trainer. Because, again, I think Tunde really should have told Anthony to step on the gas again much earlier in the fight. But he was worried about doing that. And on top of that, although I think Tunde has taught Anthony some good skills, in terms of his pressure fighting skills, they're poor. And because he's relatively short, he's like 5'11 for a light heavyweight. Not crazy short. But there are some tall light heavyweights out there, and he's gonna have to learn how to pressure them more effectively and land his shots. And for that, he's gonna need someone else to come in and teach him different techniques. So yeah, and as far as Lyndon Arthur, it all depends on his situation promotionally. If he's a free agent, then he needs to go and knock on Eddie Hearn's door. Again, I'm sure I'm going to get loads of people saying, you work for Eddie Hearn. No, I don't work for Eddie Hearn. I'm just thinking objectively for the fighter. If you're a free agent and you're Lyndon Arthur, you're going to Eddie Hearn now. You're coming off a win over Anthony Yard. Well, you're going to go and try and fight Joshua Boazzi next, surely. Because that's where the money's going to be. That's the next logical step. And if you don't want to fight Joshua Boazzi, I mean, maybe you could try and get a world title fight if he can get himself up there in the rankings. He's European champion, I believe. Is it Commonwealth or European that he is now? And that, if he's European, it gives you a world ranking. But he might only be Commonwealth. Either way, he might be able to get a shot at Bivol. He's a Matchroom DAZN fighter. So that, to me, would be the way to go for Lyndon Arthur. I mean, Frank Warren has got links with ESPN in the United States, and ESPN has got Artur Beterbiev. Would Lyndon Arthur want to go in that direction? Other than Artur Beterbiev, and there's no guarantee that Frank Warren would be able to get that fight for him anyway anytime soon. So I think the most logical thing, if he's a free agent or if he's with a small hall promoter who's happy to work with Eddie Hearn, then I think that's where he should go next. I think he should forget about an Anthony Yard rematch anytime soon, unless he is signed to Frank Warren, of course. If Arthur's with Frank Warren, then, you know, I guess Anthony Yard rematch might be the best thing to do financially next, because you're not going to put him in with any of the top guys at world level right now, I wouldn't have thought. So yeah, square the situation with Anthony Yard, take care of that business, and then move on. But let me know what you guys, and of course, congratulations to Lyndon Arthur, because he was an underdog and outsider here, and he managed to pull off the upset. So congratulations to him. He's going back up to Manchester with the belts and with the victory, and onwards and upwards for him. But yeah, let me know what you guys think in the comments below about this fight and the future for both men.